Are you the one? Wait, let me answer for you. The answer is yes. The rest of this book is an elaboration on this idea, with what I hope is enough detail to prove it. If you opened the book because you wanted to improve the environment, stick around. We're just getting started. If you're still unsure, but curious enough to wonder whether you fit in, Chapter 1 might help by providing an overview of where guerrilla gardening is from and where it may be heading. Let's say you read that and you're keen. What next? Chapter 2 explains how to find a spot to start, beginning with advice on using an ecological approach in evaluating city spaces. Now that you have a site, what are you going to do with it? Chapter 3 discusses the things you'll need to begin creating your opus on the land. This, for some, is where it starts to get scary. Not the silly legal stuff, but the stricter laws of nature. What to do with the fact that you're a black thumb squashing every plant to have come under your care? Worry no more. Chapter 4 explains the basic laws of gardening in non-technical and easy-to-understand terms. It's meant to reassure you that you can indeed grow things. Or maybe you still can't, but why do you think nurseries have end-of-season sales? Once you've learned to see your city as a living thing, you're bound to wonder where all the rest of its creatures are. Chapter 5 is all about creating spaces for urban dwellers beyond the human realm, of which there are millions. If only they could buy books, too. What's the biggest crop plant in North America? If you answered lawn grass, you probably grew up in the suburbs. And you'd be right. Biggest and dumbest, we might have said. For huge amounts of effort, money, resources, poisons, and angst go into those curiously drab, even aseptic spreads of green. Chapter 6 explains how to turn a lawn into a meadow, or, if that seems ambitious, at least into something more interesting. Chapter 7 takes you to the peak of guerrilla gardening, the dream site, the spot you plant and tend so impressively that they let you keep it, also known as a community garden. This is where you learn how to start one and, just as importantly, how to keep one. In any creative campaign, it can sometimes help to suddenly turn the tables. Chapter 8 makes the case that you should not be bound by any limits, including the ones that say you must be contrary. Most ecological restoration work is done through official channels. This route isn't for all guerrilla gardeners, and you should be warned, the meetings alone can be deadly, but if you do well here, you can make a lasting impact. Chapter 9 describes what you can do when you're not out pulling weeds and planting seeds. It explains how to pass the message of urban greening on. Ideas, after all, are seeds that may bloom into something grand. What? Not be out planting things? The conclusion winds up by contesting the very idea. It includes some hopeful thoughts for the future, along with a final exhortation to stop reading books, grab your tools, and get out the door. There's a world out there that needs help, and you, green-spirited soldier, are the one to help it.